His mercy and peace be on you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel lesson might be a little uncomfortable for us as Lutherans. Jesus says that he has appointed us to go and produce fruit. And then how do we do or keep what we're supposed to for a right relationship with God? But we need to reorient our thinking. Jesus is not talking about an unbeliever. He's talking about a branch connected to a life-giving vine. He's talking to believers. That means to us. In the very first verse of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We don't want to jump too quickly past that part. From eternity, the Father loved the Son. Jesus later says to the Father, you love me before the world's foundation. And he says, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. It all starts there. As the Father loved the Son, and we can even imagine that, that's how much the Lord loves you. Think of the relationship of love between the Father and the Son. A relationship from eternity, and we're being incorporated into that. There's a touch of eternity in the Lord's love for you. Even more, God loved the world to the point of sacrificing his one and only Son for it. It's incomprehensible. And that's our starting point. We never want to lose sight of that, even our very last moment. Only then does Jesus turn to his commands. Well, the godly person delights in the law of the Lord. The Lord knows we want to keep his commands. Again, we're not keeping the Lord's commands to get into or earn a relationship that's already ours. No, we're learning here how the Lord is transforming what we want into reality. How he creates lives of obedience. And it's always a matter of focus. Now, we could take the idolatrous route. We could look to ourselves and how imperfect our works are. We could grovel in our sins. Or we keep our focus on the Lord and his love. Remember, Jesus' saving work on the cross suffice already long before our works ever enter the picture. It all begins with a profound sense of being loved by the Lord. There is no fear here. A few chapters back, the Lord kneeled down to wash disciples' feet. Here's a little overwhelmed by all. Only after the Lord washes our feet do we get up to wash the feet of others. So the Lord modeled that obedience to us. He expressed his own love for the Father in keeping the Father's commands. And ultimately that means that he would obediently go to the cross. So also for us. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed the Father's commands and remain in his love. Or the chapter before, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Love is proved by obedience, and by this we remain in Christ's love. As Christians, we're going to be living differently. So what are the commands the Lord has for us? Well, this is my command. Love one another as I love you. We've experienced the gracious and forgiving love of the Lord, and now we're to turn toward each other. We're not rugged individualists. To be connected to the vine is to be connected to each other. We share an intimacy and a warmth grounded in Christ's love with that love as its standard. We surrender our resentments, animosities, and bitterness toward others. Of course, when we work around, it's hard, which may be why Jesus has stressed it as a command. Effectively, we're passing his love on to others. But you're not going to find that here. A selfless love does not need directions on what a neighbor needs. When we focus on others rather than ourselves, what we're to do becomes obvious. What's in their best interest? We're not going to get a new law of Moses here. But we do have some clues. Jesus says, no one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And that's what we become to one another here at St. Timothy, as fellow Christians. Friends have mutual obligations. A friend always seeks your well-being. Even Aristotle said, a friend is one who will always try for your sake to do what he takes to be good for you. And the Greeks and Romans celebrated the friend willing to sacrifice his life for you. And we have our Lord's example. Jesus says, you are my friends if you obey what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore. I've made known to you everything I heard from my Father. Where the servant works in the dark, carrying out the directions of the master blindly, a friend understands the significance of the commands. We understand that Jesus gave his life for us, and so we're to be willing to give our lives for others. Now, Peter had some growing to do in this area, and he denied the Lord. Judas betrayed Jesus. People can get locked all the time into patterns of betrayal and denial. Jesus is better than calling us to stamp out. When we keep our eyes on him, his love creates a profound resource to draw on our relationships as we become true friends to one another. And if we need more direction, how about our text? Jesus stresses that our prayers will be answered. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Jesus wants us to have a heart for other people. What he did for us is to abound in good works toward others and in prayers on their behalf. You ever considered keeping a prayer journal, jotting down your prayers each day for others? Over time, watch the Lord answer those prayers. And Jesus offers encouragement. I've told you things that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be in me. The prophets look forward to the joy in the end times. The later rabbis thought that the future messianic era would bring perfect joy. That time has now come in Jesus. It begins with the confidence we have in him of our salvation. There's a sense of peace and security in all that we do. A quiet joy as we go about our labors. People are happiest when they're serving others. The Lord's commands are not onerous. He's not giving them to burden us or to deprive us of joy. On the contrary, obey his commands brings joy. Recent research in the Journal of Psychology have been finding that we're happiest not when we do things for ourselves, but when we act for the sake of others. But who needs a Journal of Positive Psychology? We already know this from the Word of God. It may not come naturally. It may require the encouragement of a straight-out command, but it will bring the fullness of joy to our lives. And when we catch in that obedience, is that when we're the most miserable? When things aren't right in a relationship, whether a close family member or a spouse, doesn't it spoil the rest of your day? And doesn't it cast a dark shadow over all that's going on until you get that problem addressed and resolved? Do we really want to let the sun go down on our anger or on a broken relationship? It's an expression of our love to get those relationships restored. And this, too, brings joy. Dominique Lockyer wrote a story years ago based on a real-life figure. He had a story in the mid-20th century, a Catholic priest left all his possessions and life behind the West to go live. So think of all this as a breathing exercise. We inhale each moment and day of our lives in undeserved divine love. We take in that love with our every breath, and then we exhale it in our love for others. We practice each day breathing in and breathing out our breathing exercises. And with the Spirit's help, over time, a little physical therapy, this becomes more natural. To cast a sideways glance at the Apostle Paul said, he who started a good work in you and carried on the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus adds, you did not choose me, but I chose you. He took the initiative to choose us. And for what purpose? I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Jesus chose us in our salvation that we would go and produce fruit, would take his love on the road and produce. And when Jesus says that this fruit will remain or last, we're reminded that what we do here and now in these works will echo in eternity. At the last day, it will be the good works that God worked in and through us that will remain, and there will be nothing to taint them. The Lord converts our straw into gold. That's what one basically. Looking back, we began John 15 last week with Jesus as the vine and us as the branches. Well, to return to that imagery, the vine was one of the most prized plants in the first century Israel because it produced a fruit that people could consume for a relatively low cost in terms of labor and thrive in a land where the rainy season alternated with the long, hot, dry summers. We too live in a hostile environment, a sinful and wicked world. And yet the vine produces great fruit for nourishment and strength. As those incorporated into and abiding in Christ, the true vine, we are empowered to love our fellow Christians and to bear fruit that all the world can see. We have been given a new commandment, to love one another as Christ loved us. So let the whole world know that we are Christians. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.